Real College Podcast is presented by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and is a production of Radio K.
You're listening to Real College Podcast, and I'm your host, Alex Schumacher. Every year, South by Southwest gathers some of the biggest musicians, publications, and innovators in the country into the city of Austin. It's a massive and important event, and that's why, for the past few years, Radio K has sent staff down to South by Southwest to cover the event. Producer Nathan Fervoy was part of the team that went down this year, and he sent back a series of pieces that cover the highs and the lows of the festival. And so, here's Nathan Fervoy from South by Southwest.
Day one of Radio K at South by Southwest.
Yo, we arrived. How's it feel?
I'm a little sweaty. That's it. It was a pretty sure plane ride.
Hey, how's the trip?
I'm sweaty.
I said.
Fresh off the plane from MSP, we stepped into the Austin sun, which felt wholly unnatural after months inside wrapped in sweaters. The city buzzed all around us as we got situated and sought out our first move.
Like, what do you know? What do you know about South by Southwest? Is this your first time here?
Yeah, you know that. Yours?
Yeah, it is.
Being many of our first times at South by, the constant beat of showcases, talks, and surprise performances made it hard to get a grip on what was going on around us. What to see, what to skip. Could we reasonably get to every artist we want to see in a single day?
What is it? What about South by? What is it?
Dude, I feel like most music festivals you go to, you're like, damn, like these are artists I like and I want to see them. But in South by, you're just like, damn, there are 800 bands in the city and I'm going to run around for 5 days and not sleep and see all of them. And that's so sick.
Radio K, Real College Radio. Here in Austin, Texas, South by Southwest 2019 with
Charlie Bliss.
In our first interview with Brooklyn power pop band Charlie Bliss, the group talked a bit about the craziness of South by Southwest and of life in general and how best to deal with it.
Is this your first South by? Is this new to you guys or is this like same old at this point?
This is our second South by and we are having so much fun already. 2 years ago we came here and we were supporting our first record, Guppy, and now we're out for our second record, Young Enough. And we are so excited to be here. It's sunny and gorgeous, all our friends are here.
You have the lyric, sometimes nothing is delicious.
Yeah.
Where did that lyric come from?
I'm someone who's so hard on myself. I am a massive people pleaser and I am a perfectionist in a lot of ways, and I find that when I have any downtime, even no matter how much I'm craving it or how exhausted I am, if I'm doing nothing, I feel terrified and like I'm a total fuck up. And when I think it's important as you get older to realize that balance is the key, and sometimes doing absolutely nothing, no matter what else you have going on, is really important and an important skill to learn to let your brain rest a little bit and not feel like you always have to be operating at 1,010% and impressing everyone and, you know, whatever. You can just be you and be tired and that's totally fine too.
Yeah, I'm too good at doing nothing. I have the opposite problem, I think.
See, yeah. We're opposite.
Exactly, exactly.
It works really well.
It's perfect.
In our partnership.
Yeah.
Yeah, South by Southwest, I think, does not really function on that type of mind frame.
I think you're right, but if I'm being honest, I feel like I'm on vacation right now. I know we're going to be playing, and I'm nervous for that in a way, but right now I feel like I'm on vitamin D overload, and I feel so happy that I'm like, is this work?
Smell of sunscreen in the air.
That's the thing, though. Like, sometimes when you get to a venue, you know, you're all worked up about sound checking and loading in and stuff, and then you just have, like, this time to kill, and you're like, what do I do? But because it's South by, there's so much stimuli, it's very easy to just, like, be like, woo, we're having a good time. And then they're like, oh, it's time to play now. Yeah. Cool. Like, I don't know. I feel like it's very relaxing in a way.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, it's very fun. It doesn't give you much time to get really nervous because you're like, all my friends.
Embracing the chaos, we walked from one venue to the next, making hard transitions in genre, but always finding quality performances no matter where we went. After a bopping UK jazz set from Sarah Tandy, we walked into a stunning pop star worthy performance by Donna Missall. The end of our night was then obliterated by a surprise DJ set by French electro duo Justice. Exhausted, we made our way back to the hotel.
I honestly am like so blown away. We saw Justice last night and that was absolutely insane. It started at like what, like 12? Like midnight basically, and went till almost 2 a.m. and I died and was reborn like 3 times over.
Yo, hey Luke, so how was your first day at South By? What are you feeling after that first night?
Well, I gotta say, it was fun but also very strange. I don't feel like a human being. I feel like a computer program who's just simply doing what I'm programmed to do. It was a beautiful time.
Summary of day one, expectations for day two.
Day one was crazy. It was so much fun. It's really fun being at South by Southwest and like knowing a lot of other people here because, I don't know, I've been running into a lot of people and I love saying hi to some friends. Also, it means that you can know about cool things that are happening, like Justice performing a secret set at midnight for like 100 people. That was so crazy. And expectations for day two, I'm hoping for a little bit to keep it up. We've got some really exciting interviews happening, some bands that I really like, and then, I don't know, maybe we'll see Young Lean tonight. I cannot confirm or deny that I will be seeing Young Lean tonight.
As a conference for both tech and culture, South By is ideally situated to present the internet's influence in today's music and the many patterns that such broad sharing of sounds and ideas create. Artists of social media fame and whose sound comes directly from the web were among the official showcasing acts. The prime example of this sort of internet artist was found at the year 0001 showcase, which included performances from Young Lean, Bladey, and Thigh Boy Digital, all major figures of the cloud rap collective Sad Boys. This crew of auto-tuned e-boys embraced futuristic aesthetics, combined with a straightforward social media presence, simple lyrics repeated millions of times through SoundCloud and YouTube to the point of internet fame. Hailing mostly from Northern Europe, the Sad Boys are a clear response to first-wave American internet hip-hop, which pioneered the raw social media aesthetic of the early 2010s. Adopting the sound and posturing of American hip-hop that reached Europe via the web, the group was then able to put their own twist on the format and have it successfully connect with an American audience, again through the web. This process of appropriation and exchange of sound is nothing new to music. The connectivity of the web only allows this process to happen more quickly and visibly than ever before. Midway through South By, I wandered into an energizing DJ set from Chicago footwork producer DJ Tay and stumbled upon a somewhat surprising scene for Texas. A circle of young, mostly white boys had formed and were dancing away, their feet moving in rapid oscillating patterns in the style synonymous with footwork music, like I had only ever seen at performances in Chicago or on YouTube. I wondered how this scene, so far from footwork's Chicago roots, had taken hold.
South by Southwest 2019. Yo, I'm here with, for Radio K,
Hunter.
Yo, Hunter. I saw you dancing in there. Footwork shit. Where'd you learn about footwork?
It was probably like 3 a.m. on the balcony, and we were listening to, I think it was like Feeling by DJ Rashad. It was amazing. truly something like life-changing, you know?
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Unsurprisingly, these fans had stumbled upon footwork online, much like I had.
You found it online?
It was more of streaming music and listening to other people's kind of music and just finding new styles, and eventually came across like juke bounce work, and then it turned into like footwork and stuff like that, so I really got into that.
Like, where did you discover the shit from originally?
I think I discovered it through Tazo's music, or maybe Yeti. I think through Tazo, I was like really into like bass music, and Tazo had a lot of crossover music, like dubstep tunes and like more like just like left field bass tunes, but all of his shit was like mostly footwork too. And just kind of just through exploring through his likes on SoundCloud, I discovered like Yeti and Rashad and Spin really early on, and that led me into like more tech life stuff. And yeah, I mean, I just love searching all these different sources. Like Japan has really good footwork, or overseas has a lot of, there's like Swedish and Finland footwork that's really good too.
Yeah, like what is it about footwork for you that like drew you to it?
I think it's just like kind of like the rough production style. It reminds me of like old school jungle or like hip hop, how people will kind of like sample things, but like it's kind of like not like super perfect in terms of like polished, clean sound. That roughness and like kind of like it gives it an edge to it. It gives it like a realness. And it also gives me a kind of like a ghetto feeling, like a just like a hood feeling. I'm from Houston, so I grew up like listening to DJ Screw and a lot of gangsta Southside music, and tech life, this kind of music, it's just like gives you that same feeling of just like that raw, like just leaned out gangsta beats. Like, I don't know. I think it appeals people in because it's a sound that people can instantly recognize. It's kind of like house music, and it's also like trap music, but there's no like kind of cultural limit to like who can participate in it. You'll see people remixing like Tame Impala, or like, you know, like anywhere from like Zero to like, you know, whoever, like Michael Jackson or Prince, and anyone from any background in music could really get into like the blueprint of like chopping beats up and making it fit into 160 BPM and making it flow with footwork music. And it's really just like kind of like finding the best part of a song and like leaning, like extending that vibe, and you know what I mean? Like if it sounds good, it sounds good, I guess, yeah.
All right, I'm here with DJ Tay, Tech Life. Yo, last night, how'd you think your show went?
I think it was pretty chill. It was pretty long. It's kind of tiring, but we made it happen, you know.
As for DJ Tay himself, the spread of footwork to new audiences is something he supports. People showing footwork love from around the world.
Like in the crowd, footwork initiative.
Yeah, I'm just glad that they showed the spirit, you know what I'm saying? At least try to embody what we got coming from Chicago and all that. You know, at least they got the courage to try it. You know, everybody don't know how to move their feet.
Yeah. Like, have you seen this everywhere you've gone? Like little pockets of footwork stuff?
Yes, I really have. I mean, it's pretty crazy, you know what I'm saying? I'm getting used to it. We're just more encouraging more people and trying to make it more open format for people to just start dancing and everything, you know what I'm saying? Make it more, you know what I'm saying, like a viral, every other dance went viral, it's time for footwork to go real viral, so yeah.
Yeah. What do you think it is about footwork that makes it fall into that little niche wherever it goes, and like people from whatever background can just pick it up like that?
It's something new, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's its own kind of hip-hop. Hip-hop is always dance-orientated. It's just a new style for everybody to get into, you know what I'm saying? Everything's, stuff getting old, people looking for a new style. Footwork ain't new, but it's still new to people, so it's like people just still finding out about it, and that's what's interesting about it.
Cool, man. Any closing remarks for people in the Twin Cities, that area?
Oh, yeah, we in Minneapolis, St. Paul. I'll be out there. We already know. We smoking that kill. Let's get it. Tech Life, recipes to every shot.
Word. Thanks, man.
So I'm going to let you in on a few tips to help you do South by Southwest like a pro.
Networking. It's the driving force at South By. I watched online as many of the Instagram accounts I follow from a distance converged to within a few block radius, figures in tech, media, and art all amassing in one place for a few days to swap ideas and size each other up. With the area so saturated in the hottest new ideas, time is the only limiting factor on the amount of information you can absorb in one day. The people who get the most out of South By are those who best manage their time and beat everyone else to the front of the line.
Don't forget to check social media religiously. Find the hashtags, y'all.
It's a great way
attendees go into a competitive networking mode, a somewhat manic state of messaging and watching each other's stories to figure out the trending place to be at that moment. Never before have I put my phone to use as much. It seems like an essential baseline tool for experiencing South By. The rapid chase of information is accelerated faster still by the huge fleet of electric scooters that dominate the streets and sidewalks and minimize the time it takes to move from one venue to the next. With everyone constantly interfacing with one another, South By feels like living in the future of augmented reality and free-flowing information, but it also is a window into the stressful rat race that this new interconnectedness induces.
Can I ask you a practice question?
Yeah.
How are you?
Oh my god, I am like in and out of my body. So I am that.
I know, right? I don't even feel like a human anymore.
A common feeling when pausing to take a breather and observe the festival from a distance is that something essential is being overlooked in the rush.
Hello, how are you?
I'm great. Can you introduce yourself into the microphone?
Yes, I'll try. My name is Luz Elena Mendoza, and I play in Ilabamba.
Fantastic. Thank you, that was a lovely introduction.
But I don't really know like what has changed South By. I learn a lot about people in the world, for sure, and where people put their value.
Yeah.
And what's important, or I see how people, and what they put value in, and I think it's kind of like exhausting, you know, to just see. Yeah, that's a loaded answer. There's a lot. So
yeah, okay.
I just don't like ingenuine, you know, like art.
Totally. We were just talking about like this conflict between like, you know, like the marketing aspect of it and then like the artistic aspect of it. It's strange. It does strange things to your brain.
Yeah, and I guess it's definitely, I feel like people really need to start learning how to like be there for one another. We got to educate the industry now. You know, like kind of like if people give a damn, you know, like I feel like that's what we're trying to do is just like create awareness so people can actually learn how to care if they don't know how or if they're interested in, you know. I think I just hope we're moving in a direction where people are interested in and in integrating new safe supportive ways and the artists and, you know, community, or if you will. You know?
So true. Like, we could never have too much, like, solidarity.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, the industry has been there to pit each other against one another and to divide one another and to say, like, this patriarchal, I don't even know how to say it, but, like, it's like everyone wants to, like, fit this model, you know, like, oh,
yeah.
I don't know. I just don't buy it. I'm not interested. Never have and never will be. But
right on.
I'm interested in change and people who are making arts for that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, and here totally. I just learn about the world more and more. I'm just like, okay. It's really sad to see it just can be turned into a monster if you don't nurture it in the ways where it's supposed to create a good thing, you know, create positive change,
you
gotta nurture it in the
right way. So. The drive to gain visibility and influence through networking can be a selfish one, one that neglects nurturing and leaves many vulnerable people on the outside without a voice. The expensive badges drive a wedge between the official and unofficial South By.
All right, yeah, Radio K, Real College Radio here, Austin, Texas, 2019, South By Southwest with
Bayer, 1991. You know, reality shifts a little bit, so the aim of the festival is there and it's clear, but then at the same time I feel like the streets are lit, like the streets are popping. People from Austin are playing amazing live shows on the corner of the street that haven't been booked to do a showcase, but they are giving like the best shows. Like I saw this 60-year-old guy doing guitar solos for like 40 minutes on the street corner. That was sick, you know. I feel like everything that's happening on the street and like culturally the city engaging on like a very cultural social level is way more real and way more like it offers a lot more than what's happening in the venues.
Sure, yeah.
The venues are half empty. The sound's like over like I don't mean it'll be like all negative about South By, but this is just these are the facts, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, it's like a very strange. It's like I've never been to anything quite like it. It's like it's so many different groups of people coming together, and it doesn't seem like you were saying, like in the venues, it doesn't seem like it's so much for just like the regular person as much as it is for artists to like and media people to like show off to each other and like show off the product maybe. And
yeah, it's kind of sad, and I wish I wasn't gonna say this, but I'm gonna say it anyway. I love those bird sounds, by the way. I love these birds here. They sound like guinea pigs. It's so cool. South By, I think, is... Actually, I don't care that I'm saying this. It's probably the last time I'm going to play here. But it's like... It's just a credential. It doesn't mean anything in real life, because yesterday I did one of the like better shows, and there were about six people there. And need I say more, you know? I'm sure that the whole like initiative of the festival and the kind of the pure like intention behind it is really good, and it really is about music, but I definitely think they should reorganize how they do it, and like the quantity of it should go down and the quality should go up.
Like in comparison, like what would be your ideal show, or like is that what's like the favorite show you have played, not here but just like in general? Yeah,
I love playing at venues where there's actually something else happening, so venues that aren't made for music, like an arch. I played at a magazine launch once, like a really good one that was held in a huge space, and they had a sick PA set up. It was like a block party PA, and I had a mic cord that was like a mile long, and I just run around singing and doing the set, but it felt really, really free, and something I'm playing into as well, definitely aiming to do more of those shows in the future, to have it more like a collaboration between me and something else that's independent, rather than a conventional music venue. Because for me, the shows just feel a bit stifling and a bit limited when I'm on stage and I'm expected to stay there, and the public's like out on the floor and they're expected to stay there, and it's just so like stiff, you know. I think that should change, for me at least. I think that
like being in collaboration would allow some of the pressure to be like it's not everybody's looking directly at you all the time.
Also, and also because music is so versatile, and it has so many different, you can experience it in so many different ways. And I think, you know, this is a good example of people wanting the best for music, definitely, but just kind of lining it up in a way where you are forced as the artist and as the public to just be in your position that's kind of assigned for you, so either on stage or in the public, but there's no kind of surprising element to it. You all know that you're getting the ticket, and then you're going to go see the show, and then you're going to see the artist play, and then it's over, and then you get your beer, and it's like it's the same every time. I think it's boring and it's old-fashioned, and I think music should be challenged and be put into different contexts so that we can really experience it in a different way. The same way people are playing around with like 3D technicalities and, you know, cinema, and there's so many there's so many different ways of experiencing this, and we're human, like we have so many different aspects to experiencing anything, that I hope that in the future we'll be more creative about it. That's something that I'm...
After days hanging around the epicenter of South By in downtown Austin, I thought it would be worthwhile to check out the parts of the festival occurring outside of the official showcases in order to experience some outsider acts and hear their perspectives on the conference. A group of us made the trek outside the normal range of the Lime Scooter Flock, whose corpses now littered the downtown, to a small single-story house alongside the highway in a quiet residential neighborhood of Austin.
We've been having a great time with the scooters. Every time we see one, we make sure to try to drop kick it as hard as we can. If there's a row of them, it's bonus points. And please get them off the streets. It's private property and public spaces, and we want them to go away forever.
Death of the commons.
Outside of the official showcases, the artists we spoke to seemed to have a more positive outlook on the networking chaos of the festival. It's crazy, yes, but amidst the chaos, there exist genuine moments and opportunities.
Hey, I'm here in an undisclosed location with the florists and products to bands from Minneapolis who came all the way down to Austin, Texas for South by Southwest. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Hey, hey.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is that we haven't been on any, like, official South by showcases, so we've been kind of living, you know, outside of the capitalist structure, if you will. So exactly. We haven't really been advertised much, too, but we've eaten a lot of really good tacos, so I don't know. I think it's a win-win.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that doing South by this way is kind of fun because it's predicated more on making relationships with other people at similar stages as far as support behind their band.
Totally.
So you get to meet people from all over the country, and thankfully we've gotten to hang out with a lot of friends that we've made too from touring and hanging out, and it's been fun to collide both my products worlds and my florists worlds.
Totally,
hanging out
totally.
In the van and hanging out with some friends from either band.
Yeah, I mean, as the band Products, you know, we're pretty disappointed that we haven't been able to, you know, sell lots of merchandise and climb the rungs of the indie music ladder. But at the same time, it's been great. You know, we've been talking to people from Sony and Spotify.
We're starting to slowly figure out that DIY might be a pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
Shout out Skylar Nowinski.
Yeah,
shout out to Skylar for that one.
Yeah. No, but it's been great. Yeah, I second what has been said about the unofficial showcases are really the sweet spot of South by Southwest. And you don't need a wristband. Just come down here and you'll have a great time and probably meet some of your musical heroes. And you get to, like, just have a real conversation with them.
That's really cool.
It's fantastic, actually. Yep.
The last band we spoke to at South By, just hours before flying home, was the French duo For Real, who had made a surprise appearance at the house show, filling in for a band who had dropped out of the lineup. Dressed in matching all-white fringe, the duo matched the carpet and background Christmas lights exactly, fitting seamlessly into the house environment. Their synchronized dancing and dramatic singing along to 70s disco-sounding backing tracks won the audience over completely. Gassed up with many kind words from the crowd, the group spoke to me before heading off to yet another show that night.
For Real. Is this For Real? I'm Elliot.
And I'm Virgil.
And, yeah, so this is you guys' first South By, I assume, yeah?
It's our first everything. Like, the project's brand new, so we just fucking rocked up here without a plan and doing house shows, filling, you know, missing bands, slots and stuff like that. So here we are. Yeah, first South By.
What do you think of the festival? Like, there's some bands that I've talked to that have not been big fans of it, but this is a very different side of the festival, the house show circuit.
Well, we had no plan really coming here. We just figured there's going to be so much happening that we just walk up and see what happens and play a bunch of house shows. We played some weird off-the-beaten track stuff, and it's been... And everybody tells us that's the most fun part of the festival anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And
we had a grand time so far. So
yeah. We kind of came a few days before the festival started, so mm-hmm. like on the Thursday before last.
Yeah, to try and case it out a little bit.
And we literally just went around with our fucking briefcase and just like knocked on the doors of the venues. And with our manager Antoine, who like by chance bumped into this guy in this venue who happened to be the booker who took us to this party and introduced us to these kids,
and then it sort of snowballed from
there. It's just been like this kind of shit like for like 9 days now, and it's like we've done some ridiculous stuff. It's been great.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Super fun.
So yeah, it sounds like you've embraced like the chaos of the whole thing.
I mean,
totally,
I think if you try to fight it, you just get swallowed.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen a single band soundcheck here. And I'm talking even, like, the big bands. Everybody just... We saw the Black Angels earlier today, and I think they just walked on stage and just, like, turned on their amps, and they were like, this is good? Yeah, all right. And they just started playing, and it's kind of... It feels like, because it's the live music capital of the world, like, everybody just knows what to do, and
yeah,
it's
and
just
people
very...
are down, and I think the vibe is infectious, you know, like
mm-hmm.
you see other people loving it and you see other people like kind of struggling with it at the same time, and you're just like, oh, well, you know, like at the end of the fucking day, we're not like spending all our days in an office, so you know, sure, this is a bit hectic, but it's definitely okay and like really fun. So embrace it. And like doing the stuff that locals do and like hanging out with the locals and doing the house shows and stuff, like that's what's been the most giving to us, you know, like that's the real vibes and like the real, yeah, the real experience for us.
Cool. That's a good place to end it right there. But
For Radio K and Real College Podcast, this is Nathan Fervoy. Thanks to the Radio K South by Southwest crew, Maddie Schwapek, Lizzie Ritchie, and Luke Roberts, you heard interviewing some of the artists in this piece. Special thanks to all the artists involved for lending your voices and unique perspectives.
I personally can't wait. I've never been to the Great Midwest, and
dude, same here. I'm so excited to go out there.
I would love to go out there. I hear that Minneapolis and the Twin Cities are a great place for life.
Well, that's all from Real College Podcast. Thanks to Nathan Fervoy, Lizzie Ritchie, Luke Roberts, and Maddie Schwab for their work down in Austin. Real College Podcast is produced by Nathan Fervoy, Ben Hallam, Liv Brigham, and Lizzie Ritchie. Alex Schumacher is the host and managing editor. All episodes can be found online at radiok.org or on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Thanks for listening.